ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Taya Upabhujamanam Vai Yavanaha Sarvata Disham Vavi Pravisha Suvrisham Pradayam Satalam Urim Tayo Papujamanam Vai
Tayo Papujamanam Vai
Yavanat Sarvato Disham
Yavanat Sarvato Disham
Vavi Pravisha Suvrisham
Vavi Pravisha Suvrisham
Pradayam Sakalam Purim Jamanam Vai
Jamanam Vai
Yavanat Sarvato Disham
Yavanat Sarvato Disham
Vadi Pravisha Suvrisham
Vadi Pravisha Suvrisham
Pradayam Sakalam Purim
Pradayam Sakalam Purim
Taya Pabhu Jamanam Vai
Taya Pabhu Jamanam Vai
Yavanat Sarvato Disham
Yavanat Sarvato Disham
Vadi Pravisha Subrisham
Vadi Pravisha Subrisham
Pradayam Sakalam Purim
Pradayam Sakalam
Taya
by Kalakanya.
Upabhujamanam.
Upabhujamanam.
Being taken possession of.
Being taken possession of.
By.
By.
Certainly.
Certainly.
Yavanaha.
Yavanaha.
The Yavanas.
Yavanas.
Sarvata Disham.
Sarvata Disham.
From all sides.
From all sides.
Vabihi.
Vabihi.
Through the gates.
Through the gates.
Pravisha.
Pravisha.
Having entered.
Having entered.
Suvrisham.
Suvrisham.
Greatly.
Greatly.
Pradayan.
Pradayan.
Giving trouble.
In trouble.
Sakalam.
Sakalam.
All over.
All over.
Purim.
Purim.
City.
City.
Translation and verse 4 for Srila Prabhupada. When Kalakanya, the daughter of time, attacked the body, the dangerous soldiers of the king of the Yavanas entered the city through different gates. They then began to give severe trouble to all the citizens. Report. The body has 9 gates, 2 eyes, 2 nostrils, 2 ears, a mouth, a rectum, and genitals. When one is harassed by the invalidity of old age, various diseases manifest at the gates of the body. For example, the eyes become so dim that one requires spectacles and the ears become too weak to hear directly. And therefore, one requires hearing aids. The nostrils are blocked by mucus. And one has to always sniff a medicinal bottle containing ammonia. Similarly, the mouth, too weak to chew, requires false teeth. The rectum also gives one trouble, and the evacuation process becomes difficult. Sometimes one has to take enemas and sometimes use a surgical nozzle to accelerate the passing of urine. In this way, the city of Quranjan was attacked at various gates by the soldiers. Thus, in old age, all the gates of the body are blocked by so many diseases, and one has to take help from so many medicines and surgical appliances. We're continuing with this graphical, allegorical description of the fate of conditioned souls. And so nicely illustrated by Narada Muni. Maybe people don't always like to hear about these things. Why are you so morbid? Why are you so negative? But if we think this world is positive, then our, say, opportunity to achieve the real positive, the real happiness of the soul is blocked. It's one thing to have the blockage of the holes of the body, and that may not wait till old age. You see, regularly people in young age are wearing false teeth. My mouth was decorated with false teeth at the age of 12. I lost about a third, maybe half of my teeth at the age of 12. Oh, Lordy, old man. It's another story. And glasses, maybe the age of 15. And hearing is still going on somewhat. But old age, brought on by our sinful activities, Yavana Raj, his business, the unclean habits of Kalakanya was sent by Narada Muni to Narada. Kalakanya was eager, looking for a husband, but nobody wants to marry Kalakanya. Generally speaking, nobody in their rightful mind. And she saw Narada Muni, a young, handsome brahmachari. So she approached him, and because he made a vow of brahmachari life, the duty of a man is approached, he has to somehow satisfy. So he tried to satisfy her desires. Just like Haridas Thakur tried to satisfy the desire of the prostitute in various ways, and ultimately on the absolute platform. So Narada Muni also, he sent Kalakanya, the daughter of time. Kalakanya, kind of daughter, Kala of time. He sent her to Yavanaraj, the king of the Yavanas, or the king of those with untouchable, unclean habits, all kinds of dirty habits. So he sent it to him out of his, let's say, his compassion. And Yamaraj was very clever also. He'll engage her. But because he's very familiar with unclean habits like illicit sex, he decided, better I don't marry her, I'll send her to my brother. You can marry my brother, Rajabara. Rajabara is a high fever which attacks towards death. The temperature in the body goes up, unbearable. Even if the temperature in the body goes up a little bit, we experience intense fever, like we're burning inside. Eh? Burning inside. And then, of course, when the temperature hits a certain number, 107, 108, whatever it is, then death is on our doorstep. And we leave the body, and the temperature goes down. And we leave the body. But at that time, there's a high fever. We may have forgotten what it's like. We hear about what it's like from the Bhagavatam at that moment. The pain, intolerable suffering, practically. So many efforts are there to try to stop the suffering, but on the subtle plane, there is no, what can be done. Maybe on the physical plane, different things are put there. Matt Prabhupada mentioned here to reduce the pain, which inevitably comes in old age. Not only in old age, at any age, but more prominent in old age. Not only the pain of the disease or the failure of the organ to work, but also the pain of not being able to enjoy through that gate. Generally when, we've heard already, when Paranjan goes out to hunt, he goes out through the various gates of the body, hunting. And the man leaves the city, king leaves the city, he exits through the gates. That's the usual procedure. And when people come, they come through the gates. And now we see that those very gates are being overwhelmed. We can't use them anymore. The enemy is taking over. With the enemy, you may think the enemy is someone else. But in this case, the enemy is basically the reaction of one's past activities. Graphically speaking, it is the arrangement of Yavanaraj. Chandavega time. Time, the king of the Gandharvas, sends his representatives, 360 male soldiers, 360 female, in the form of night and day, to gradually wear down the defenses of this city, of this body. Different protectors of this body, the life heirs, and various aspects protecting this body, but they're gradually worn down by the effect of time. The soldiers of Chandavega. The days and nights, Ayur Parati Vayupon Sam. Shukadeva Goswami describes in the second canto how by its rising and setting, the sun diminishes the life of everyone, except for those who engage in seriously hearing and chanting the message of Godhead. Although their physical body may appear to be also aging, they're not actually on the same platform. They're experiencing a different reaction, a different experience. Old age for one who's absorbed in devotional service brings happiness and fearlessness. One's getting freed from this city, this body, which is a lump of matter. We say, Sharirara Vijaya, what's that? This material body, in English, this material body is a
lump of ignorance.
Lump of ignorance. And the senses are?
Network of paths leading towards death.
The networks of paths. People are busily going down those paths, following the path of sense gratification. This is the path of death. And of all the senses, the
tongue
is the most
voracious
and difficult to control. Very hard to control. People's tongue are always wagging, hankering for something to put there. So much energy on food. Practically single most sense gratification is so much energy there. So much money, time, effort to produce various kinds of tastes, and all for bringing us closer to death. And God knows what happens then. So Purandjan is being attacked not only by the days and nights taking away the duration of his life, but now when Kalakanya comes on the scene, she, by the grace of Yavanaraj, is accompanied. Kashvara comes a little later, but initially she's accompanied by the soldiers of Yavanaraj. All kinds of diseases, all kinds of disturbances racking the body, making it, you know, uncomfortable. A lot of time in old age is spent just trying to minimize the discomfort, either by forgetting it, by some drug, or some drug which tries to, you know, remove it, but all the time, or to help it to work, as mentioned here, some instrument, something plugged in to energize it, something or another, all kinds of energy. And sometimes people spend millions of dollars trying to keep going, keep the bag going, blow it up, poof, poof, stick something in it, rub something on it, do something, keep it going. I want to stay in the bag longer. Yes. You're just starting now. You don't have to worry about this yet. Do, but probably not something on your agenda right now. He was screaming when she heard that. We're taking it like a joke, but it's a reality. Because I don't think this won't happen to you. Happens to all of us, we have to be ready for it. So Yavanaraj's soldiers are attacking, Kalakanya is embracing us in validity, old age, along with those soldiers. He said you can imperceptibly attack all conditioned souls, and that's what's going on. We can't see it, it's on a subtle plane. Only things we can't see which are going on. And the poor living entity becomes helpless. Helpless. Tries to take shelter of all kinds of things. Doctors. As Prabhupada said when he was in Allahabad, he was appealing. And one doctor was one of his associates, rich man, big businessman, appealed to the doctor, "Please, my doctor, please give me 4 more years. 4 more years so I can finish my business." We never finish our business in this world until we actually stop trying to do business in this world. But they want plans, plan making. Do this, that. So many important things. Everything's resting on me. What will happen when I die? How will my wife maintain? They'll maintain quite well, possibly better, especially if you have a good will. Sometimes they're out hoping you go away quickly. It's costing too much money and time. And hope. Probably use the word of fag end of life a few times, huh? We heard it yesterday. Fag end of life. You know, the cigarette's just burning out, and there's just a butt left. and get rid of the kick it up the butt, you know. Get the old fag out of here. Get on with life. It depends on the relationship. Sometimes they're crying and lamenting. It depends. And sometimes it's the other way around. They're glad. What to do? This is the face of the material world. But we know Bhagavatam gives us what to do. How to deal with this. It's not just about sticking something in the ear or up the bum or in the mouth or whatever it is. I remember my father had piles. Or suffered terribly from piles. Anyone have piles? I don't want to embarrass you. I won't ask that question. But, you know, if you do or if you had it, you know how painful it is. You know? So painful. Or some other disease now, so many things. Cancer, the rectum, and so many painful things. It's just to pass stool or to pass urine, there are different things, some blockage in the urinary tract. And then the nose is all stuffed up, you can't breathe, you've got to put something up there so it can breathe. Oh. I saw one time I was in the hospital with the devotee actually, and they were sticking these pipes, he didn't want it, they were sticking all these pipes down him. He just couldn't breathe. He was gasping and spitting them out. It was terrible. Terrible thing. They don't, because the person putting it down doesn't know what the other person feels, you know. Horrible experience. It was an eye-opening experience, how painful this body can be. We've got to prepare ourselves, isn't it? Preparing ourselves doesn't just mean keep fit. You know, even people who do all these things, yoga, keep fit, do this, do that, live longer, oftentimes die early. It doesn't guarantee anything. We have our allotted time, and no amount of instruments, you know, whatever it is, injections, medicines, and things can save us. The doctor couldn't give it 1 minute longer than it's due a lot, not 4 years. And we've got to prepare for that. That's the main thing. Bhagavatam is based on this principle, preparing us for that inevitable challenge, opportunity to leave this body, not just to leave it in pain and lamenting and crying and so on and so forth, but to leave this body happy. I remember seeing one devotee in Vrindavan. His name was Radhakund. And he was suffering from cancer. He was, I suppose he was in his 50s, maybe early 60s at most. And he came back to Vrindavan just to pass his last few days, literally few days. And when he arrived, he carried him into his room, and he was lying there, a big smile on his face. And the devotees were bringing garlands and covering him with garlands, you know. Hundreds of garlands. Someone said, stop, he said, if you put any more garlands, he's going to die. You know, he was getting covered in garlands. He said, put more garlands. What a wonderful way to go. Buried in mana garlands. And then this other one was thinking, oh, sometimes you think, oh, poor Prabhu, you know, he's dying, he's got this sickness and so on. And Prabhu was saying, poor you, I'm very fortunate. I'm leaving this wreck. You still got some more work to do inside this body yet. And he specifically saying it. There he goes, jokingly. He said, you still have to spend some years managing the temple. He was kind of joking, but you know, it was fun. He was laughing and having fun. He was so happy. And just talking, I saw Mahavishnu Swami, Goswami, yeah, Mahavishnu Swami here saying, always joyful, always enlightening people. Static. And Mahavishnu Goswami, the elderly Gujarati sannyasi, was also like that. I saw him then a week before he left his body in Nasik. I went to Nasik. And he, someone, another family, we were on Purukhana. He came, he had his disciples on him. Bring him over. They came over to see us. We didn't even know where he was staying. But he happened to be there. And he came over and he came in, and he was like on his last days. Well, as soon as he came in, he started quoting Bhagavatam verses.
I'm getting everyone to repeat the Bhagavatam and discuss the subject matter of Bhagavatam. I need a smile. I'm laughing. So happy. Even the least bit fearful of inevitable death, even though his body could hardly eat and whatever, I don't know. But this is a devotee. Of course, Prabhupada told a lesson also, different lessons when he left his body. Surely he didn't eat and body was breaking down, but he taught us how to leave this body. We sometimes hear the lesson of how to live, but the lesson of how to die is pretty important. It's Bhagavatam, Parikshit Maharaj asked that relevant question. More or less, you could say the Bhagavatam unfolds based on that question. What is the duty of a man at the time of death? Is it to be surrounded by crying relatives? Is it to be surrounded by doctors trying to pump more air in, or, you know, more this or that? Some artificial, you know, heartbeat going on, trying to, their brain dead and they're still trying to keep the machine going. Poor soul is like experiencing all this. They don't believe in the soul probably. All this is going on. And then someone making some strange prayers. I remember when I saw, my parents and the funerals, and the priest is going on, they're going back to Jesus and this and that, and so many things. Well, they never even read the Bible once in their life, you know. It's maybe they are, because Prabhupada's merciful. Generally speaking, people are fully engaged in following the path of Yavanaraj, the path to hell, impure habits. And as a result of these impure habits, invalidity, Kalakanya, really kicks in. It becomes miserable. We see so many descriptions of persons who have unending ones, as much as they can, illicit sex, and how much pain that can cause in old age if one lives that long. And so many other things, intoxication, so uncontrolled illicit activity. Whole Vedic society is to help us to become free, or to reduce this painful experience. King Prachinabharashat wasn't such an illicit person, but Narada Muni was still being on his case like anything. He was too attached to fruitive activity, which involved the killing of animals. He was performing karmakandiya activity, but going overboard. And so what the speaker nowadays, people's activities, we cannot see. Sometimes they say, he had a peaceful death. He died peacefully in his sleep. Well, how do we know how he died in his sleep? Were we there? Even if you're physically there, we can't see what's going on the subtle plane. Physically, maybe it looks like that. Perhaps there's some reason or other, some drug or so. When the pain is so great, the living entity also regularly just loses consciousness externally, but not internally. Not internally. Externally. There's no apparent, consciousness. They seem to be lying there peacefully. But inside, Prajvaras and the soldiers of Yavanaraj and Kalakanya are all full on invading that city. And the poor soul becomes completely helpless. Even the police chief, the life heirs in the body become helpless. There's nothing they can do. All their assistants, the senses, and all become completely smashed. And was helplessly then dragged away by, you could say, the attackers on the subtle body to whatever one's destiny is. Captured and dragged out of the body. Painful experience. So this is also, you could say, illustrated so many times in the Bhagavatam. We'll just read one or two aspects of that. This is, we're going to plug in the computer now to the projector. We have someone to help. I don't know if it's going to work. Is there anyone here who's savvy in the conjecture. Where's he gone with that man?
Yeah, for light, maybe.
Yeah, there's no light. No, don't speculate. Please don't speculate. You might have no projector left. Yeah, you can blow it up if you don't feel well. Anybody know? I know it's pretty complicated. This is a real high-tech thing. Pardon?
Yeah.
Well, it's not. Oh, yeah. Is it on the screen? I don't know what that thing there is. Oh, there we go. I don't know if this is going to work, but the projector has to be smooth. Maybe move closer? Would it be closer? I think push the whole thing closer. Is that closer? Yeah, and then move it around a little bit. Okay, okay, I know what to do. Okay, that's good. And now just move this across a bit. Now it's not square. But anyway, I'll have to read it. I don't know how to do this. We've taken this from the database. So, you know who this is. Who's talking to who here? Huh?
Right.
It tells you, doesn't it? Dhritarashtra quits home. So Vidura is talking to Dhritarashtra, his elder brother, and he's giving him some nice advice. Generally people don't do this. When they come to see their old brother on the verge of death, they try to console him. Huh? Oh, it's not that bad. It's okay, we can still go for a game of bowls. Let's have a game of draughts. Let's watch the TV. My mother, I went to see her in the old age home. All of her life, she was very faithful to my husband, my father, her husband. And she was very, you could say, supportive. But she didn't like some of the things he did. She wasn't against it, but she was totally disinterested. My father was very much into football, and my mother wasn't at all interested, not at all. But when my father died, my mother voluntarily, she didn't have to, she chose to go into an old age people's home. And she was a house, people to look after everything, but she chose to go into the old age people's home, where everyone's on the verge of death. Not a very favorable place to be if you want to live with people who are dead. Just like in Krishna consciousness, we don't associate with people who are on the path of death more than necessary, because it might put us on the same path. So anyway, she was there, and I went to see her, and she recognized me. She wasn't that far gone. But she didn't practically give any attention to me. She was glued on the television. Television was on. And she said, "Be quiet, be quiet. The football's on." She was glued to the football. Couldn't believe it. She never watched it throughout her life. And now she's on her deathbed. She's watching the football as if it's like, you know, the most important thing in the universe. Because she's so attached to my father. And this is her way of remembering him and remaining attached. Amazing how the psychology was working. And everyone in that place, some of the people were scared stiff. They were like so paranoid on what they were seeing, I don't know. Screaming and all sorts of things going on. It's so unfortunate that people are leaving their bodies in this ignorant way. They have no knowledge. And Vidura, his elder brother, Dhritarashtra was also in, was in a different situation in the house of the Pandavas, but still he was in that mentality, that ignorant mentality, that foolish mentality. So Vidura wanted something higher for his brother. He always tried, but he never listened. Now was the time to strike. So here he is, he's giving him the source. Insurmountable, eternal time, imperceptibly overcomes those who are too much attached to family affairs and are always engrossed in their thought. But Kalakanya gets us. She doesn't touch those who are devotees. Old age is a different thing for devotees. Kalakanya, even though she appears to embrace the devotee is not affected by it. And in the next verse, Mahatma Vidura knew all this, and therefore,
no, it's not on the floor. It's better put it here. Don't put it there, whatever you do. That's just a special thing for the book.
Sorry.
And that is not. Never put it on a mat. You sit on that. It's like putting it on. Worse than putting it on the floor. Put it in the book. That is a thing.
Mahatma Vidura knew all this, and therefore he addressed Dhritarashtra, saying, "My dear king, please get out of here immediately. If we don't get out of this trap, this deep dark well, we're going to be forced out. Forced out, Prajvara, and then eventually again, the Avanaraj, they'll rip us out. Just see how fear has overtaken you in such a fearful situation as the material world. We try to hide it, covered over by absorbing ourselves in various kinds of pleasures, but ultimately fear is there of various kinds. Cruel death cares for no one, in one sense, be he Dhritarashtra or even Maharaj Yudhisthira. Therefore spiritual instruction that was given to old Dhritarashtra was equally applicable to the younger Maharaj Yudhisthira. In other words, the idea is to compare ourselves. We don't have to be overcome in the same way. Even though the body is overcome, we're not. Because the identification with the body, if we identify with it, it's like a city or country. If we don't identify with it, we're not overcome when it's invaded. But because we identify with it, then we become very disturbed. This false ego of identification with this body. We identify ourselves with our true relationship with Krishna, then the effect is not the same. Pain may be there, but we don't have to suffer from it. We don't, I mean, the pain is there. And Sridhara Prabhupada, our brother, left the world before that. And everybody asked, it must be very painful. Yeah, the pain is there, we don't have to suffer. You don't have to identify it. Pain is all around us, everywhere. One of the characteristics of the material world. But if we identify with Krishna, we don't have to be so affected by it. We can actually, in some ways, can be actually an initiative, inspiration to take shelter of Krishna. Reminder. Old age is a reminder meant to be. It's actually, in one sense, it's special fortune, because we never got old, and the tendency is when heavenly planets is hard. Because people remain ever useful, practically speaking. And so on this plane, old age is a good reminder to take seriously spiritual life. So then, so it's another PowerPoint. So then, Vidura carries on. And he says, "This frightful situation cannot be remedied by any person in the material world. My Lord, it is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, its eternal time, Kala, that has approached us all." We see this Kala as form of Krishna. "Whoever is under the influence of Supreme Kala must surrender his dear life and want to speak of other things such as wealth, honor, children, land, and home. Your father, brother, well-wishers, and sons are all dead and passed away. You yourself have expended the major portion of your life. Your body is now overtaken by invalidity, and you are living in the home of another." Said it's like a household dog, he described it. "You have been blind from your birth, and recently you have become hard of hearing. Your memory is shortened and your intelligence is disturbed. Your teeth are loose, your liver is defective, and you are coughing up mucus." We're still hanging on. Prabhupada in one of his poems, he said. And then you ask and they say, "Yes, everything's fine. It's fine." Even though they're lying on the deathbed, yeah. "How are you? How are you, Bill?" "Oh, I'm fine, Joe. It could be worse. Could be worse." Alas, how powerful are the hopes of a living being to continue his life. Verily, you are living just like a household dog and are eating remnants of food given by Bhima. There is no need to live a degraded life and subsist on the charity of those whom you try to kill by arson and poisoning. You also insult enemy, goes on, and he eventually tells him, just get out of here quick now. And he takes it seriously. So we're going to jump out of this now and hope to get out of this. It's kind of interesting one. You can't see the icons. It's difficult to get out of. I may need a little help. Is that sitting under here? I can't get out because the icon is not there. What do you do? This is not the last thing I want to show, is something else. But I can't get out of this because the icon is not there to close it. It's on the PowerPoint, and because it's on PowerPoint, the whole thing's not on the screen.
Control,
Alt, delete, to escape. You can't escape, it doesn't work. The escape button doesn't operate. This is not Windows, this is Linux. Anyone expert? I see you know how to do it. Unless you know, don't even bother because this is a, I could close my computer and start again. If I could get on the desktop, I want to get on the desktop. Well, this isn't PowerPoint, this is database. I can exit the database maybe. Let's try. Song here, the story of my sadness. It is actually joy, but tears to be sad. And this song is one of those songs, seven songs of humility. So someone can play harmonium, someone can play madanga. Maharaj is here. Playing on an accordion. Okay. Prabhas open their eyes with the dark, blinded with the darkness of ignorance, the torchlight of knowledge. We offer. We surrender ourselves as his lotus feet, offering our humble presences. I got the tune this morning, but old age is coming in, and memory is Second. Let's see what Krishna makes. Might take a little while to get into it. Let's see. Prabhu Shunu. Excuse my voice, it's also another symptom of old age, it's getting choked up. Late night last night. Shunu Duke Kahi. Shunu Duke.
Thank you. Drink the honey of your lotus feet, and
thereby deliver this Vashti. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. She had come to join us for a few days in New Mayapur in France. They have this annual music fest in France. It's a one-day event, and anyone can go on the street anywhere they like and play any music they like as loud as they like all day and night. Anywhere you like in the city, basically.
In France,
yeah, they have this one day there. So Vishnujan was there. Harinam, you were there, weren't you? Harinam, you didn't come that time. Vishnujan was there, I know that. And a few others, Shamarasi. And we were already in the city doing books from Harinam, and they arrived about 5 or 6 in the evening by plane from London and touring. And we picked them up, well, no, they came on a tram. And then they joined us on the Harinam, and we stayed on Harinam till about 11 at night. And it was amazing, because it was loud. Then we drove back to New Mayapur, we got back about midnight. And we had to run around, they had no prasad, they were hungry, they'd been to Stonehenge the night before, or something like that. And they just came straight there. And it was far out. And we ran around trying to get some prasad together, it was mostly asleep, based there in New Mayapur, where everything was. And arranging their rooms. And it was dark, lights on and off. We have these lights that go on and off, you know, time switches. So I was going down the stairs quickly to arrange something. I don't know if it was exactly what it was, prasadam or some bedding or something or another, to bring them. I was running down the stairs practically, I know them like that. Oh, fairly well. But I missed a step. Now, if you've been to New Mayapur, you have this marble spiral staircase going down. Have you seen it? Anyone been there? And it's very slippery. They took the mat away. There's no railings. There are now. We put them in. But then there were no railings to hold on to. You know, running, not running, we're going fast. And I missed the step about, I don't know how many steps before the end, before the ground. I missed the step and my foot, my right foot just went, boom, zipped over the edge. It's a spiral, you know, right now, and I lost it and it span over, twisted over. And I flew, literally flew to the ground. Bang! My forehead. Crack! I could hear a crack noise. Crack. I was convinced my head was cracked. All very quick. Split second it was all over. But as my head went bang on the floor, a loud noise came out of my mouth. It wasn't my doing. Krishna came up. And that really, I mean, if there's nothing I had anything to do with it in terms of consciously aware, I had no conscious awareness. All I could hear was a loud roar of Krishna. So I wasn't thinking personally in a position to think of anything. Of course I was thinking of Prashada. You could say maybe, I don't know. I mean, just thinking of getting down there and getting shadow or some bedding or something. But it was an amazing experience, wasn't it? And I was led, and then I kind of landed bang on my forehead on the marble floor. And my right hand took some, and my left hand rather, took some of the blow, and it went like this too. And I kind of rolled over like fire in my hand and fire in my foot. My right foot and left hand were like burning. And right hand kind of vibrating like anything. And I'm lying there with the two of them up in the air. And I went like this with my right hand and nothing, no blood, nothing, even a scratch on my forehead. Couldn't work it out, it was hard to work that one. Not even a bump came up. Nothing. And just at the point of that roar, that the sound of Krishna's name, and I realized that, you know, we may not remember Krishna, but Krishna remembers us. Or Guru remembers us. Same thing. At that moment of death, if one, we have our shortcomings, we may have our anarthas and so on, but I don't know if it's here in Melbourne, I think Prabhupada says 70% free of desire or something, go back to Godhead. But we shouldn't take that. You shouldn't take that risk, but somehow or another it was an amazing experience, and just realized that Krishna is there, even if we don't seem to be minding, he was there, he's with us, he's our well-wisher, and the spiritual master is always with Krishna. Definitely. We've seen many examples of devotees leaving their bodies, and they may not even have been in a good state of action and consciousness so much towards the end of their life when that time of death comes. A Brahma appears there before them, Krishna appears there before them. It's such an amazing thing, inconceivable the opportunity to serve such a devotee as Srila Prabhupada in spreading the mission of Lord Chaitanya in this world today. Distributing books, distributing holy name, prasadam, serving the mission. Such a rare, and it's just, we don't perhaps realize just what a privilege it is, what a sought after opportunity, rarest opportunity. For anyone who does that, very dear to Krishna. Everyone. We can wait and see what Krishna has in store for us, whatever's best to us. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anything else? Interesting experience. And it was a very blessing in disguise, because for about a month or so I was in a wheelchair, and then, you know, something on my feet, and to keep it. It would have looked, I didn't have any breaks, I had all kinds of ligaments and tendons or something, or torn this and that, couldn't walk. But it was really good, because 3 days later was Rathiatra in Paris, it's fantastic. And I was able to go on a wheelchair on the Rathiatra, it was really good. The best Rathiatras I've been on. Book distribution was fantastic. Yeah. It was very hard for anyone to say no to the book. And leading kirtan for quite a while. Then we went to another Harinama, another Rathyatra the next day, Den Haag. That was also equally fantastic. I guess it was really a good experience of facilitating the preaching. You might think it stops the preaching, but nothing does. It facilitates it. If we want, Krishna's got his plans. Hare Krishna. So better practice now while you're young. And we hope that automatically Krishna will come out. He'll be there. He'll be there in the city when the Tamil city is getting broken down. He'll be there with us. Not all these useless residents of the city, pure desires and broken senses and family members around us. We can't do anything. They can't do anything to help anymore. For a while they're sticking things in to try to keep it going, but the time comes the external help does nothing. And the internal help is rendered helpless also. Only if we have that Krishna is Prabhupada Guru is. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaura Premanandi. Thank you very much, Krishna. I don't know where that tune came from. Kind of made it up on the spot. And then it comes from somewhere else. I mean, remember it. Probably not a very good one. I have to think of something quick. And you know, the writings of Bhakti Vinoda Thakur are just so amazing, huh? So amazing. We just sing as one or two. But this Sharanagati and Kalyana Kalpa Charu, and what's the other one called? Gitali, is it? Bhakti Vinoda? I think Gitali. Vishnugam was there in the Himalayas before. You remember that? When I fell down the stairs?
I was behind you.
Oh, wow, well, he was beyond me. He didn't push me.
I mean, I was on top of
him. He didn't fall on top of me, did he? Yeah, that's quite an experience. Very ecstatic. Good job, Antigua.